T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton Athletic Studio, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Ryan Horvath in today for Bart Winkler. He'll be back tomorrow. Chuck Freeman alongside with me here on a Monday, hour number two. Still a lot to get to today. We talked a little Brewers. We'll continue to do that throughout the program. Also, USA Soccer 3-0 victors over Chile yesterday. We'll probably get to that for maybe 2.5 minutes. But the big story over the weekend, at least for me, Freems, Anthony Davis heading to Los Angeles. LeBron struggling to get a co-star for Space Jam Part 2. Looks like he may have just found one, as Anthony Davis traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Pelicans do get a lot in this trade. They get 3 players and 3 first-round draft picks, including number 4 this year. So they'll have the number 1 pick, which will be Zion Williamson, the number 4, which they could offer up in a trade or take the 4th best selection, obviously. They also get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart, and they get to keep Kyle Kuzma.
I keep hearing people say, the national guys say, boy, they sure gave up a lot. They the most package ever for a player. How much is too much for a guy like Anthony Davis? Answer, not enough. If they had to give up more for Davis, they got a franchise player, one of the best players in the NBA, to put next to LeBron. And if they go out and get Kyrie, man, that's well worth it. I mean, who do they really give up in that deal? I mean, draft picks, the 4th pick overall. If you're not getting Zion Williamson in this draft, I have no problem giving up the 4th overall, number 1, 4th overall first round pick, plus others for Anthony Davis, who's an established great, great player. Great player. Man, I would do, if the Bucks were, if the Bucks could offer something like that for Anthony Davis, I'd do it in a second. In a second, if they could get Anthony Davis. So I don't think the Lakers, if they had to give up more on that, I'd have been fine with it.
No, I completely agree with you, and I think a perfect example of why you make this move is the Toronto Raptors last year. Some people were questioning the move trading DeMar DeRozan just because team captain, best friends with Kyle Lowry, fan favorite, and you're trading him for a guy in Kawhi Leonard who had one more year on his deal, was set to become a free agent. And I guess that's a different situation, because when you make that trade, the fan base and everybody around the NBA and NBA Twitter saying, well, zero chance Kawhi stays in Toronto, so you're getting a player for a one-year rental. Now, you assume Anthony Davis continues his plan to accept that 15% trade bonus. I think it's $4 million. The Lakers are going to have $23 million in available salary cap to bring in another free agent, and Anthony Davis most likely then signs the deal next year to stay with Los Angeles as long as everything goes right.
The Lakers would not make this move if they didn't think Anthony Davis was going to re-up. They got word, obviously, they got word that Davis is going to re-sign with them, all right, and get a lot of money. So they wouldn't have given all this for a one-year rental. Wouldn't have done it. They know that he's going to re-sign with these guys.
And even if you are only getting a one-year rental, I feel like you still make the move because, okay, Lonzo Ball, great defender, but comes with a lot of baggage with his dad. In fact, LeVar Ball already said this is the biggest mistake that the Lakers have ever made in franchise history.
Hey, you know what? You traded a 7th person in that deal, too. You traded his dad.
Ingram's great, but I like Kuzma better anyway, and you get to keep Kuzma, so now you pair him with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and most likely you're going to have another superstar. Now, a lot of the talk throughout the weekend was that it was going to be Kemba Walker. He's already said that he would stay in Charlotte. He would even take less money. That's what's on his mind right now. But now, he could turn that deal down, that max deal contract, the $239 million or whatever it is, and head over to Los Angeles. Let's say he doesn't go over there. Kyrie Irving's already said that he wanted to play with LeBron once again. He called him and apologized, said, I didn't know what it took to be a leader. But also, Kyrie Irving has said that he wanted to play with Anthony Davis. So if you pair those three together, or even,
get Kyrie out of the East. Hey, if he's going to go to the Lakers, that's fine with me.
Yeah, so that's the biggest.
I'm good with that.
That's the biggest takeaway. And already with the news of Anthony Davis, the Lakers now favorites to win the NBA title next year, 7-2 odds. Guess who comes in number 2, though? your Milwaukee Bucks.
Now, here's the one deal. Okay, if Kyrie, if Anthony Davis is going there and Kyrie goes to the Lakers, then Kawhi Leonard is probably not going to Los Angeles. And that's bad because that means Kawhi is staying in the Eastern Conference, maybe, or he's just sticking with Toronto. We want to get Kawhi because I feel like the only way the Bucks could win this thing is if other teams get weaker. Mm-hmm. And Kawhi's got to find another home if he's not going to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm glad that you agree with me on that one, because as these teams get stronger, you're like, man, and that's what I was thinking about all weekend long. As soon as this move happened, I was like, that was the Bucks' best shot, because mm-hmm. now we're going to see the return of the super teams. But still, I think this is a win for the Bucks, because since 2013, the Boston Celtics have had a king's ransom of assets. I mean, they have just been stocking those picks.
Because of the Brooklyn trade, yeah.
Because of the Brooklyn trade, you brought over Kyrie Irving, you brought over a superstar, well, at the time, and Gordon Hayward, but you had all those draft picks that you could dangle for Anthony Davis. That was their main goal, was to bring in another superstar, and they had their eye on Anthony Davis forever. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis' dad and his people said, you know, he doesn't want to play in Boston, but I thought there was an outside shot that we would see it, especially with all those draft picks, even if it was like a one-year, hey, we're going to trade for him, we'll try to keep him here. You know, Danny Ainge is pretty convincing. I think this is a huge win just because Anthony Davis heads out west, Boston doesn't get him. So now, and it's crazy why Boston doesn't get him, because the rumor was they were the second team, and they didn't want to give up Jason Tatum, which is a great player, but for Anthony Davis.
Thank goodness Danny Ainge was dumb enough to say, I'd rather keep Tatum than to get Anthony Davis, a franchise-changing player. I mean, what? I mean, come on. You're talking about Anthony Davis here?
Want to hear something even crazier than that? The Denver Nuggets, also in talks, didn't want to part ways with Jamal Murray.
Ridiculous for Anthony Davis. So I'm glad. When I heard Saturday that Davis, when I saw the alert that Davis was going to the Lakers, I was like, terrific. I just didn't want him to go to the Boston Celtics or anywhere else in the Eastern Conference. Get him out west. Get him away. Get him as far away from the Milwaukee Bucks as possible. And that was good. So I'm glad. Trade hasn't officially been announced, but when it does get announced, good thing. Davis, Lakers, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I agree. They waited, obviously, if they had waited until July 30th to complete this trade, the Lakers could have had $32 million in cap space, which would have been enough to pursue a max contract-level free agent. Now waiting, I don't know who they're going to be able to bring over. Like, I keep looking at these reports, and you're hearing so much different information every time you look. If I'm a betting man, I think they end up with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, and somehow make it all work out. What do you think?
Oh, I can see that happening. Yeah, yeah.
Last offseason, what I found funny...
There's reports that Kyrie's already... the Lakers are definitely interested.
And he bought the house. Well, the big rumor has been that Kyrie Irving was going to go to Brooklyn. And Brooklyn mm-hmm. said this past weekend that if they do make the move for Kyrie Irving or bring in Kyrie Irving by signing him, they're going to have to part ways with D'Angelo Russell. I know some of their fan base isn't happy with that because the Nets were pretty damn good this year, and D'Angelo Russell had his best year as a pro. He was an all-star. So you're parting ways with him to bring in Kyrie. If I'm the Nets... Man, I don't know that I do that. I know we both agree Kyrie Irving's a great player, mm-hmm. but I think he's proven he's not a leader. He can't lead a young team. We saw what he did in Boston with all that talent. The reason he's leaving is because the younger teammates didn't get along with him. So if you're Brooklyn, why are you going to part ways with a guy that led you to the playoffs, scored 20-plus, gives you 8 assists a game, to bring in Kyrie Irving, who you don't know if he's going to get along with teammates?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kyrie can't be the best player on the team. We saw it with Boston. Mm-hmm. He was the best player in the Boston Celtics. And where'd that get them? One playoff victory against the Bucks. Kyrie has definitely got to leave there. I just don't want him to join any other team in the Eastern Conference that's already got a good amount of talent aboard there. Philadelphia, I don't want them to get any better than they are. I don't want to see Kyrie obviously join Toronto. Well, they don't need him anyway.
No.
They got enough of a backcourt help the way it is. But Kyrie's going to end up somewhere. But I don't, Brooklyn, he's fired his agent. He's fired his agent, which was a recent move for him, too. So I don't know what that indicates. Kyrie, I was unhappy with something with his agent, so he's fired his agent.
And he was going to join Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's agency, and Jay-Z, part owner of the Nets. So Brooklyn, it just gets more interesting. And this is the best part about the NBA offseason. I almost feel like the offseason is more entertaining than the regular season.
It is, and it's all going to be hitting coming to June 30th. The draft is coming up later on Thursday night. You're going to be doing a draft here on The Fan. But for the Bucks, let's face it, they're not going to get an impact player at 30. I mean, the chances of them are getting an impact player at the very best are very, very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even this past year, DiVincenzo, what did he add to the team? Now, he may have a better future than that, but, you know, so far, a guy who they draft this coming year is not going to be an integral part of the upcoming Bucks team.
799-1250, should the Lakers be the favorites to win the NBA Finals in 2020, or should it be the Milwaukee Bucks? We'll talk about that. Also, USA Soccer, they get a win over Chile, but I'm not happy about it. And we got some golf talk. A lot coming up here. It's Chuck and Winkler, Monday morning till 10 a.m. here on 105.7 FM. Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Ryan Horvath in for Bar today, along with Chuck Freeman. Big news over the weekend is Anthony Davis traded to the Lakers. LeBron gets another superstar. Pelicans get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and three draft picks, including number four in this year's draft, that they'll be able to pair with Zion Williamson. Lakers still $23 million in cap space, and Anthony Davis says he will sign a new deal. Still, people not loving the move, thinking the Pelicans gave away too much. Freems and I both disagree. Anthony Davis, only 26 years old. This is a guy who just last season we were calling the best player in the NBA, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think Anthony Davis is – I put him on the Bucks. The Bucks are instant contenders for an NBA championship, even if you had to give up Chris Middleton in that move. Okay? So I would love to have Davis here. The Lakers went out and did it. I mean, they gave away a house and made a blockbuster move. And I think that's going to pay off for him. I mean, put him and LeBron together. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I mean, I know LeBron's getting up there in age, and he's maybe on the other side of his career. But that, and then if they add one more piece to go with it through free agency, they'll make it work, and they'll have a big three there.
That's why I laughed last season, especially. Well, I've laughed twice in LeBron's career. When he went to Miami, we knew what he was doing. He said he was going there to win titles with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. When he first went to Cleveland, we tried to make this into the redemption tale that he just wanted to bring the title to his hometown, which in my opinion was all BS. He just got a new big three. Wade and Bosh were getting a little bit older. They had lost in the finals. In Cleveland, you had a new big three. You had Kyrie Irving, who at the time was like 23, 24 years old, and LeBron traded Andrew Wiggins. I said LeBron because he's the GM, let's not forget, for Kevin Love. You had a new big three. This time, it appeared like LeBron James. He had the new Space Jam movie coming out, Space Jam Part 2, which nobody will co-star with him. But we thought he was just going to go there because he wanted to move his family there. Plenty of opportunities. He has his business. He's got a show on Showtime or HBO. I can't remember which one, where he's got the barbershop. He's got the movies. So we thought he was just going to go out there, retire, be a family man, and kind of start his next career after basketball. I called BS right away. He was going there to play in the biggest market. He wanted to be a Laker, and he wanted to win another title. Here's a crazy stat I found about LeBron James. He is also the GM. He's a player coach. Since July 2010, there have been 42 different trades with LeBron on the roster. In Miami, they made 11 trades trying to build a championship contender. In Cleveland, 27 trades. When LeBron was on that team, the Lakers have already made four trades now, including this one for Anthony Davis. LeBron, he's not going to play with young guys. Like, everybody thought that he was going to play with Andrew Wiggins in Cleveland. He was like, no way, bring me in another veteran. Even last year, everybody said, hey, he's just going to take the year off. Who cares about the playoffs? You know, win 40, 41 games. After like 2 weeks, he was like, trade this guy, get me some veterans. LeBron does not like playing with rookies.
Oh, no, I know. I hear that. And that's the way it always is, but that's fine. You know, if he wants to, he knows better than anybody who he can gel with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. If he's telling the GM, hey, you know, let's bring in this guy. Does anybody know the league better than LeBron?
No.
Without a question. I mean, LeBron should be able to, you know, I mean, not that he's got to run the team, but still, if he gives recommendations, hey, why don't we bring in this guy? I think this guy would fit in nicely with our team. Again, LeBron knows himself, and obviously you want to bring in people who are going to jive with LeBron and jive with his personality and fit his game, and LeBron's going to fit the other person's game. I think these two guys are going to complement each other's game very, very well. They just need another shooter on that team. Again, I'm jealous that the Bucks can't pull off a trade like this. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I would love to see the Bucks pull off a blockbuster deal to get another superstar next to Giannis, because that's what it's going to take. So when I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, you know, the only way the Bucks are going to win the Eastern Conference is if some of these other teams get worse. I mean, that's not the way you want to win an NBA title. You want to be able to get better. The Bucks have to somehow get better next year. They won 60 games, but they have to either maintain that or get a little better if other teams aren't going to get worse.
799-1250, you could call, give us your thoughts. Are the Bucks still the team to beat in the NBA next season? This one comes from Bucks fan 42, who says, I understand, obviously, why LeBron would want Anthony Davis, another superstar, but if you're Anthony Davis, would you really rather play with LeBron at the end of his career or Zion, who's possibly going to be the new LeBron? And that's a question I'm going to ask you, Chuck. For Anthony Davis, like, we know what LeBron's doing. He's bringing another superstar to pair with. He wants to win another title before he calls it quits, maybe even a few more. But if you're Anthony Davis and you're thinking about your career, you're 26 years old, do you want to go try to win with LeBron, who's, you know, mid-30s, or do you want to try to win the next 5 to 6 titles in the next decade with Zion, who could arguably be the best player in the league in year or two?
Back to your question. I don't think the Bucks are the team to beat yet because the Bucks haven't been to the pinnacle yet. Mm-hmm. The Bucks haven't done anything. Bucks couldn't make it to the NBA Finals. And the Bucks could be favored and all that. Until the Bucks actually do it, right now Toronto's the team to beat. I mean, Toronto's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Golden State's the team to beat in the Western Conference. They're two teams better than the Bucks. No matter how Toronto got there, they beat the Bucks 4 times in a span of 6 days. Toronto is the team to beat. You don't have to go through Milwaukee. You got to go through Toronto. Toronto is the benchmark. Even if they lose Kawhi, they're still the defending champions of the Eastern Conference. All right, the Bucks are better than Boston. Bucks are the Bucks never played Philadelphia in the postseason, but we like to think the Bucks are slightly better than Philadelphia. So I don't think the Bucks are the team to beat yet, because they have not won a championship and they have not even gone to the championship round.
So with the odds, this comes from Caesars Sportsbook in Las Vegas. The Lakers bump all the way up. Well, they dropped from plus 400 to plus 350 with the Anthony Davis trade, so they're the favorites at 7-2.
Sure.
The Bucks are right there. I want to know what Vegas knows about the Los Angeles Clippers, because they have the third best odds. They actually have the same odds. They're tied with they have the same odds as the Bucks to win a title.
I think people feel that Kawhi Leonard is going to the Clippers.
Because then the Raptors are fourth, 8-1, Rockets fifth, 8-1 as well, and then the Warriors drop all the way to 11-1, which is understandable. You lose Durant and Klay Thompson already for next season. You don't know who you're bringing back. But, yeah, I want to know what Vegas knows. I think that they still have an outside shot at landing Kawhi Leonard, in which case, then I think the Bucks are well-deserving to have the second-best odds, if not the best odds, because if you move Kawhi back out east. And so here's the example, because everybody was talking to me about this past weekend. I said, I think the Bucks get better because the Celtics don't land Anthony Davis, and if Kawhi Leonard does head west, who do you really have to compete with in the east? And everybody's like, well, what happens when you get to the finals? You're not beating a Lakers team with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
How about Philadelphia, though?
I said, well, this year is a great example. Well, if Philadelphia loses Jimmy Butler, do you still have that?
Sure.
And Tobias Harris?
Yeah. I mean, again,
Embiid and Simmons.
The only way the Bucks get to become the quote-unquote team to beat in the east is if other teams get worse, and that's not a good position to be in. You want to be able to get better. The Bucks have got to get better, okay? They do. And if, you know, this current roster was not good enough to win an NBA championship, all right? Now, would it be good enough to win an NBA championship going into next year if they stayed status quo? Not so sure anymore. I thought maybe at one point in the season how good they were during the regular season and blowing out teams left and right and how dominant they looked in the Boston series. I thought, okay, yeah. But the Toronto series changed my mind a little bit. I mean, Toronto series changed my mind. And, you know, this current team maybe isn't a championship-level team. They're not good enough.
Which is crazy. Yeah. 60 wins and a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. You had a 2-0 lead over Toronto, and it still wasn't good enough.
Not good enough.
With you. And when you look at last season, the Raptors taking that huge gamble, because the Raptors were great last season. I mean, they were the number one seed. Dwayne Casey was coach of the year. You won 60 games in a new offensive system, and you still traded DeMar DeRozan because you got greedy for that title. You look at what the Lakers are doing this year. You're going all in, even though you're trading Lonzo Ball, who you used your number one pick on. You're trading Brandon Ingram, who was the best player in the draft a few years back, because you're going all in. So I want to know, in your opinion, do you bring back Chris Middleton or Malcolm Brogdon, or you try to get aggressive right now and go out there and land a superstar? I know it's easier said than done because there's not that many on the list right now.
What if you re-sign Middleton and you re-sign Brogdon and you end up in the same spot again? Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eastern Conference Finals or less. And ultimately, you don't get, you don't at least get to the NBA Finals. It's just like, okay, this core, is this core good enough to win an NBA championship right now? I mean, that's a big gamble. Or do you go out there and do what the Raptors did, make a move to try to get better and to try to make your team that much better? They made a great move. People questioned the Kawhi Leonard move, but it turned out to be fantastic. It won them an NBA championship. Won them an NBA championship. Now, whether they keep Kawhi, well, that's another story. But they at least made a move to win an NBA championship.
799-1250, we go out to St. Francis. Doug, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, you know, I agree with you, Chuck. I mean, Vegas odds are great and everything, but there's so many moving parts and things that the Bucks have to do. We have to get better. I know it's water under the bridge, but I was shocked by the, I'll call, premature signing of Bledsoe. You took some flexibility away from yourself with all these other people, you know, having free agents and restricted free agents. I mean, what I would like to see is bring back Brogdon, Middleton, and Boyd. If you could get Kemba Walker on this team, I think he could be a difference maker. He's probably a tier two free agent. He's not a superstar like, you know, Irving and Kawhi and those guys. But I think that would make us a better team. But again, you're correct. We have to get better. You could see we got exposed by Toronto. They shut down Giannis, and we had nothing after him.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Kemba Walker on this team, all right, you traded out Kemba Walker, you let Middleton go, and you got another shooter. I'd take that switch.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God. Add Kemba Walker, another legitimate superstar, to Giannis? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you got a shot. Then you got a shot at beating Toronto.
No, I completely agree, and they would fit so well together with the pick and roll and just the things that you could do with Kemba Walker. And that's my only thing with Eric Bledsoe is he's so streaky, and even when he is getting you buckets, he's just not a threat from the outside. So there's just different ways that you could defend if you have Kemba Walker out there. We're going to talk about this, 799-1250. Want to hear your thoughts. Who should be the favorites to win the NBA title in 2020? Chuck and Winkler with you today until 10 a.m. Winkler, brought to you by Perkins. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler along with Chuck Freeman. Bart will be back tomorrow, taking the day off today after a long Father's Day. What do you think Bart was up to yesterday, Freems?
Probably on his couch watching sports.
I know he was watching soccer. He's
drinking.
A big soccer fan. USA Soccer, 3-0 winners over Chile, which, to be quite honest, wasn't satisfying for me. And it's just another example of why we get softer in sports and everything else in this country. We'll get to that a little bit later. Right now we're asking you, 799-1250, who should be the favorite to win the NBA title in 2020? The Lakers bump all the way up from plus 400 to plus 350 after acquiring Anthony Davis, that via Caesars Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Bucks with the second best odds, Clippers right there, then the Raptors, Rockets, and Warriors round out the title odds. Freems, you got to put your money down on the table. You're having some success lately.
Yeah, I think we would have a clearer answer to this question a month from now if the free agency's done.
Right.
But right now, if I were to make a bet on who's going to win the NBA championship next year, LeBron's always tough to bet against. You know, LeBron and AD right now, that's a pretty good matchup there. Okay. And I'm sure LeBron is going to have his share of load management nights with the Lakers, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have a few more of those. And Golden State is banged up. If Golden State was healthy, it would still be the Warriors. But they got, obviously, two injuries that they're recovering from now. Two amazing injuries that they're going to have to bounce back from. And I'm not one of these guys who's going to think, okay, they're going to be back by May of next year, and that's going to make them title contenders again. You know, I mean, they're sitting out the entire season. I'll say the Lakers right now.
Going to go the Lakers?
I'm going to go the Lakers. I'm going to go the Lakers.
I'm with you.
You know, depending how good Boston and Philly gets in the offseason, all right, and where Kawhi ends up, if Boston and Philly get better in the offseason, one of those two teams could be one of the favorites. But I'll say right now, there is a lot of uncertainty in the NBA because free agency hasn't hit. I'll say the Lakers because of this move.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I have to go with the Lakers just because I still rate LeBron James, when he has any supporting cast whatsoever, as the best player in the league until proven otherwise. You bring in Anthony Davis, who, as I mentioned, just last year we were calling the best player in all of the NBA. He's only 26 years old. And that's what's so different about the NBA now. Whereas, let's go back to 2014, right? And when there were big trades, like Kevin Garnett was moved, he was 37 years old. Paul Pierce was 36 years old. Jason Terry, 36 years old. Ray Allen, you know, had already been on two different teams. So when we saw guys get moved, it was usually to try to win a title a little bit later on in their career, mid-30s. Now we see guys getting moved in their early mid-20s, like Kawhi Leonard last year, Anthony Davis, 26. So I have no fault or no problem with the Lakers making this move because you're trying to win a title. I don't know why everybody is so hell-bent on stockpiling these draft picks and sustaining success and building for your future, because we've seen in the NBA that doesn't always work out. Look at what the Boston Celtics have been doing. They've been stocking those picks. So I already think that this offseason's a win for the Bucks because the Celtics don't land Anthony Davis. Also, it looks like the 76ers are going to get worse. I doubt they're able to bring back Tobias Harris, and I think Jimmy Butler's going to be on the move. Let's say Kyrie, let's say he does end up going to Brooklyn, and let's say Kemba decides to stay in Charlotte. I think the Lakers are going after Jimmy Butler, and I think they're going after him hard.
There was a time if you had a lottery pick or you gave up the fourth pick overall in the draft, you're giving up a ton.
Yeah.
You'd be saying, man, you're giving up the fourth overall pick,
right?
Plus three players, plus two more future draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same anymore.
It's not.
I don't feel it's the same, man. You have a lottery pick these days. Like this draft, okay, if you have Zion, you have the overall number one pick like New Orleans has, yeah, you got Zion Williamson. Even Zion isn't the safe bet, I think, that people want to make him out to be.
Morant could have the better career. John Morant, number
sure,
two. Absolutely. He could be a bust.
Yeah, but you don't know. Right. And, yeah, he could be one of these guys who finds himself in the D-League. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no surefire guys. I mean, Zion, I don't think even he is a surefire guy. But so I don't have any problem getting up the fourth pick overall in the draft. So, I mean, they gave away a house, but they gave away – for a guy who's a man, this guy can play. This guy knows how to win. He's going to come in here. That's a great pickup. Great. And even if you had to throw in two more draft picks, not enough for Anthony Davis. That's how much I feel this guy is so good.
Yeah, you and I always agree on the draft pick thing. And that's a great point that you just made, because 10, 15 years ago, and I don't know if it's college hoops or the way that we scout these guys or the fact that a lot of guys come over from Europe. It used to be if you drafted a guy from Croatia or Europe, mm-hmm. you would have to wait 3 to 4 years for that guy to come over. We don't see that really anymore. I mean, we know when these guys are going to head over. So you could stock those guys and keep them in Turkey or wherever if you don't want to bring them onto your roster, which we may actually see the Bucks do with that pick, because I don't think they're going to have any room really on their roster.
I think they're going to pick some guy in the first round who we've never heard of and can't even pronounce his name.
Yeah, most likely.
Like, oh,
most
boy.
Likely. A guy from Turkey. And hopefully he just doesn't come over that.
Yes.
But I'm with you. There's never a for sure thing, really.
He's got 15 consonants in his name.
Like, every 5 years now, there's a for sure thing. Like, this year it's Zion. Even in the NFL, like, every five mm-hmm. years. Like, Andrew Luck, can't miss. He's going number one. This year, Zion, he's going number one. But there are some years where it's like, who do you take number one?
Sure.
Anthony Bennett?
Yeah.
Darko Milicic?
No.
You know, like,
disappointments?
Everything's not a for sure thing anymore. And so I have no problem trading away those draft picks.
Yeah.
Because if you are the Lakers or you're the Pelicans, and even if you could build that roster good enough to be a 50-55 win team, I consider that to be basketball hell. If you are the second or third seed every year and you get to the conference finals 4 to 5 years and get bounced, if you're Toronto or you're the Hawks team with Budenholzer, like, that's just not good enough for me. That's basketball hell.
Well, that's the history of the Milwaukee Bucks right there.
Right. I want to be a title contender.
In the 70s and 80s.
So what do you do in this position? Do you bring back Chris Middleton, bring back Malcolm Brogdon, and run it back next year? Or do you go out and try to get aggressive? I don't think that they do that, but I'm with you. I don't know that this team would be good enough to win a title with what's going on.
Well, this ownership here, hedge fund geniuses those guys are, okay? They made their money. They're not afraid of taking risks. They're not afraid of taking risks. They took a risk with Jason Kidd, and it didn't work out, okay? They took a risk with Jason Kidd, didn't work out. They brought him in here, thought he was going to be the answer, didn't work out. They took a shot at it, and it didn't work out. So I don't have any problem with that. These guys are risk takers. They took a big risk building Pfizer for him. They took a big risk on the Deer District.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good risk, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So these guys, I would not be surprised at all if they took a big risk and they made a major move. Not at all, man. Not maybe the, not this year, next year, the year after, whatever. I wouldn't be surprised that anything this ownership group does takes a risk, because this is what those guys do. They're risk takers. You know, those guys aren't afraid to get their hand slammed in a door.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Because, I mean, that's part of being the multimillionaires that those guys are, because they have had their hand slammed in a door a few times, but they've also made their money. So, yeah, I could see them pulling off a blockbuster move sometime, if not this offseason, in years to come.
Yeah, my expectation
catches everybody by surprise.
Yeah, I just think that they run it back. You try to find a way to bring back every single, you know, even
we'll
Lopez
see.
This year.
We'll see.
But then, you know, to play devil's advocate, the talk I was hearing all weekend is everybody saying, well, even if you win the East, let's say that you do get past the Raptors or you get past the 76ers, whoever the top, you know, team is in the East, then you go to the finals and you're going to get bounced by a team with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving. But my point to that was, well, look what happened this year, man. If you just get yourself into the ship, if you just get yourself into the NBA finals, we say it every year and we laugh, like, ah, ha, ha, you get to the finals, you're going to get clubbed by the Warriors. But this year is a great example. You never know what's going to happen. There's injuries, there's suspensions, stuff goes down, and you just never know what's going to happen. So put yourself in the best position to win, get yourself to the finals, and see what happens from there. I mean, I would still probably take the Lakers in a 7-game series against the Bucks if they just ran it back with the same roster and you had Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kyrie, or whoever that third superstar will be. But just giving yourself the best chance to get there. I'll just be happy with the finals berth. I know we said it this year, but I'm going to go into next season with the same hopes and expectations. Just get to the big dance.
Hey, they failed expectations. The Bucks did. I mean, not preseason expectations, but once we found out they were a pretty good team and they were as dominating as they were, they failed expectations of getting to the NBA Finals and winning an NBA championship, because they were good enough, we thought, to win an NBA title. But they, you know, they couldn't get by Toronto. And Toronto, this is where Bart and I disagree. I don't think they lucked into anything. They beat the Bucks four times. They beat the Bucks four times, and yeah, because Toronto shot better, but that's what basketball is all about. I mean, Toronto shot better, and they played better defense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, they were the better team. They were the best team in the entire NBA. They beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
You could say what you want, but...
Yeah. I mean, Golden State was shorthanded, okay? But they beat the Bucks when the Bucks were at their best.
And also, the Warriors kind of did that to themselves, because, yeah, when you bring over a guy like Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins, and you pair him with two, three other All-Stars, that's good and well when you have that starting lineup, but you also need somewhat of a bench, and they didn't set themselves up. Their first two, three titles... They had a deep bench. This year, they were playing Quinn Cook and Jarebko. You don't win a title like that. You do need somewhat of a bench. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll be back with more here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It was a heck of a 12 months, and I don't know. I just try to take things as they come. You know, I didn't look too far ahead. Obviously, when we made some additions to the team, you know, we thought we could be good, but we had no idea what the health status was and all those things. And again, you just got to go take the guys you got and go play and manage it the best you can, and then look at the opponents and try to figure out a way to beat them.
That's Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. They're celebrating a parade today in Toronto for their first NBA title. Ryan Horvat, Chuck Freeman with you here on the Monday following Father's Day. Bart Winkler, he'll be back tomorrow here on Chuck and Winkler. Chuck, a parade today in Toronto. Do you ever think that we would be talking about an NBA Finals parade in Toronto, especially when we were ripping on the Canadian people right to their face pretty much a couple weeks back?
No. Even when they won 58 games this year, okay, and I went to Toronto when the Bucks were up 2-0. Okay, when they're up 2-0, and I thought, okay, the Bucks can at least get one here.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be coming back home and taking care of business. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that series sliding so quickly away from the Bucks as it did, to lose four games in the next 6 days. It was incredible, you know, the four in a row there. But, hey, that town, they got behind that team. They made that an impossible building for other teams to win in, although Golden State did it. The Bucks could not do it. And, yeah, I mean, they deserve it. They deserve to be NBA champs. You can't take anything away from them. We could badmouth them all we want.
We will.
I'm not a big fan of going to Canada. I don't like traveling there. But they deserve to win the NBA championship. They were the best team.
They did deserve it, but it still hurts. And it's just crazy how it all ended, because we were pretty much booking our flights to Golden State to go check out the Oracle Arena. It was a 2-0 lead. We had Alan Carter in here. We were talking a little bit of trash to him. He was telling us about how...
The Toronto broadcaster.
He's pretty much everywhere in Toronto. And he was telling us about how they had the better bench. We mocked him. Turns out they did. I went on some Canadian radio, and I told the same thing. I said, your bench is trash. Bucks in 5 at the most. And next thing you know, the Raptors won 4 straight, including here in Milwaukee. And then they go into Golden State. They win the NBA title. Now today they celebrate with a parade, and it looks like Nick Nurse is also going to be the coach of the Canadian national team as well. So a big year for Nick Nurse, who... Guys from Carroll, Iowa. I think population like 2,000.
Well, he played against CW Green Bay back in the day. I don't
against
think,
Dick Tony Bennett
against Tony Bennett.
You
yeah.
see that photo?
Yeah, I saw the photo. Yeah, but I mean, I remember him. I remember him playing at Northern.
You remember him playing Nick Nurse?
Yes, at Northern Iowa. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He was he was about 6'3" or so guard.
Does not look like a basketball player.
No. But look, a lot of guys from the 80s. You look a lot of rosters. You'll see many guys in there like me who couldn't jump over a phone book. Somehow got it done. But yeah, he's a guard. He's a good guard for Northern Iowa. But I remember the name. I mean, that's a name you can Nick Nurse.
Yeah,
there are certain names. I mean, that's if his name is Bill Smith, you might not remember it. But Nick Nurse, I remember him playing slightly at Northern Iowa.
And if you don't remember the name, he's got his own brand now with the lowercase NN, so you'll never forget the name Nick Nurse ever again. But he outcoached Mike Budenholzer, let's be honest. He outcoached Brett Brown, and then on the grandest stage of them all, even though the Warriors were shorthanded, I think he outcoached Steve Kerr.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, again, Kerr was playing with two arms tied behind his back because
no Kevin Durant, right?
No Kevin Durant, and then when he lost, and then he didn't have a healthy Cousins. Cousins was out of shape. DeMarcus Cousins wasn't ready to play. A couple times he looked like he had some spirit in him, but he wasn't very good. But we have a reset now. The start of the season, starting with the draft. We have the draft, and then we got free agency kicking in, and some of these teams are going to have to remake themselves, including the Bucks have got some work they're doing in the offseason, whether or not they're going to keep some of these guys. So we're going to see the face of the NBA here really quick change, and some of these teams are going to get better. Some of these teams are going to lose some stars, like the Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
They could be losing a big star.
And that's the craziest thing about every NBA season towards the end, but I feel like this season's more different than any other season in the past decade because it all just ended so abruptly for the Warriors because you lose the next 2 years, I'd say, the most likely, because those are pretty much that's a 2-year injury for Klay Thompson. You come back from the ACL, and then you got to get yourself back into game shape. You know, you'll put on a couple extra pounds because you're not running around as much, and then you got to get your jumper down, which won't be too hard for him. He has the purest shot I've ever seen in NBA history. But you lose Durant. You may lose him to New York or wherever he goes, but you lose those two guys even if you had a shot of bringing them back to injury. So the Warriors, after this long run, they're done. Now Anthony Davis, he stays West, but he joins LeBron. So now LeBron's back in the conversation as the top player in the league. Looks like the 76ers could lose both Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Maybe Kawhi goes to the West. Do the Bucks bring everybody back? So I feel like the future of the NBA is up in the air. We have no idea right now.
Yeah, we don't. And we'll know more here in the next couple of weeks on what these teams are going to do. And, the Bucks. What happens if the Bucks lose Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon?
You just get worse.
Well, I mean, it does.
And that's the scary thing is that, right.
That's why the Bucks, those guys are in a good spot because they're in a bargaining position. If the Bucks lose both of those guys, where do they go from there? They're not going to be a 60-win team next year. You lose both of those guys.
Yeah, that's the scariest thing about the NBA offseason. You and I both sitting here saying you got to kind of go out and get yourself a superstar, but at the same time, you also don't want to get any worse. I say you just run it back. I want Middleton back. I'm worried about losing Brogdon. If I get those two guys back, I'm fine losing Lopez. I don't think there's a shot at bringing all three of them back,
well,
but you never know.
The problem is, if you lose Lopez,
who you bring in?
Who's going to fit this offense from the center spot? Lopez was a huge part, not only on the court, defensively too,
and off the court, I think.
Rim protector, yeah, in the locker room, he was really good.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think they will bring him back. I think the guy though that worry about losing might be Brogdon.
7 a.m. hour in the books. We still got 2 hours to go here on your Monday. It's Chuck and Winkler. When we come back, already people freaking out about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We'll tell you about that here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.